Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Big, the knackered show from the Bagel Tech Network that never goes right and doesn't start on time. I've had enough. I really have. The audio's fine, thanks to Russ Clewitt. He came up and gave me a brand new mixer. There he is, look, back there. Yeah, so he's doing very well. And it works just fine and dandy, but then Wirecast decided to screw around, so who knows. And it seems that the hinges have come off the world as well while we were waiting to start, because in the last hour, HP have decided to announce that they're going to jump out of computing and get into software. And I'm not aware that they actually made any software in the first place, so this is going to be a very interesting discussion. Joining me for this discussion, our fabulous panel, Mr. James Hart, giving you the salute. How you doing, Matt? I can't show you a picture. This is the only picture we've got of you because the other one's not working.
Yes, how are you doing, mate? A little bit pale in the background. I'm absolutely shattered because I think as HP were ruining everybody else's lives, they were blocking up Finchley Road on the way home, and as a result, my commute was about twice as long as it needed to be.
Finchley High Road's well known, mate. Don't worry about it. Next to him, Ian Grant, alias Alex Fox. How you doing, mate?
I'm great, thanks.
Jolly good. Thank you very much for stepping in at the last mic, because Mike had a bit of a family issue that he had to disappear and deal with, so I'm very grateful, pal.
No worries. Those
on standby are really valuable. How have you been since the last time we saw you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Done a bit of training with a couple of companies over the last sort of few months. I've been quite busy. I've done Exchange 2010. I've been doing VMware, so lots of new things I've learned. Been really good. Back at work now is a bit of a blow.
Is that continuous personal development? You've got your CPD points for membership.
Kind of, yeah. We got a big tranche of money this year in our training budget, so we went mad. We're looking at the training courses, picked out about three or four good ones, and put it into the boss. He did a lot of wheeling and dealing, and we got some excellent deals. A company called Global Knowledge we use, which was really good. I can recommend them.
Very good. Below him, we've got Mrs. SharePoint today, apparently, wasn't it? Sarah Gray.
It's been a SharePoint week.
In inverted commas, working from home.
Yeah, no, I had a very, very busy day today. I've been doing all sorts of things, trying to do some particular pages, which has proven a bit challenging, but also trying to keep certain heads of service happy and, you know, keep the balls rolling, the wheels rolling rather, on the various sites. So, yeah, it's been a very busy day.
Alex Fox is in the chat room and is well happy because he now appears to have far more hair than he did yesterday, and it's not as grey as it was. There you go, Ian.
No, I'm grey all the time.
Oh, that's good, but he's going grey.
No, he was talking about Ian, not you. And last but by no means least, all the way from Petaluma, California, Eric Lanigan.
No more WebOS. Did I just jump the gun?
A shock.
Hey, guys. Hey, Ewan.
Hello, mate. A shocked and stunned Eric Lanigan.
I just got the news. I can't believe it.
We told you.
It's too soon.
Yeah. We actually knew something ahead of you. Impressive.
I know. And the weird thing was I was just sitting here reading feeds and I never saw it.
Normally, you're the competent one.
I know. I missed it by 30 minutes.
Have you been working this week or not?
Yeah.
Oh, you actually did some work.
Tech talk back.
How did it go?
No, I have not done tech talk back, but I've been keeping very busy.
Okay, really good. Still not in the new brick place then?
No, and it looks like now I'm going to be sending a QuickTime stream down to there until they build a whole other set. Ah. So
they need your own set, Eric.
Apparently.
You're such a star. The week in technology. I mean, we normally do a roundup of what the week's news has been, and we were going to start off with the Google thing with the Motorola, but we will talk about that. But the big news that's happened literally in the last hour before we started recording was that Hewlett-Packard has decided to exit all computing and just get out of everything. Tablets gone, phones gone, no matter what they've spent on Palm buying it, everything is disappearing. They are the biggest computer PC manufacturer that I can think of off the top of my head, and I think they dominate a lot of figures across the world for it, and they've decided to ditch it all and focus on software. And I've got to say, this is a genuine statement, I had no idea they made software.
They don't.
What software do they make?
Exactly. That's the point.
You're going to fool me.
I've just been reading the article, and I think it is closer to the Google Motorola thing than you'd think.
Oh, go on.
They're not ditching it. They want to sell it.
They want to sell their business.
Patents.
It's all a patents thing. Oh, no.
It seems to be moving that way, doesn't it?
From the Wired article, It says here, with HP's announcement today, it seems that Silicon Valley Mammoth could be cutting its hardware losses and instead begin to license its operating system out to other manufacturers. It's also possible that HP could follow into Motorola in Motorola's footsteps, putting its patent portfolio on the market.
I mean, you kind of thought that Palm were going to be sold for a dollar plus debts. So, I mean, who the hell's going to buy an HP 3 with a WebOS on it when HP are walking away from it?
I will if it's cheap.
You tight bastard. I mean, we're literally reading the story before we get into this, but at the moment it seems like they've said they're going to walk away from all hardware and they're just going to focus on software because they bought this company Autonomy, who are software based. And you think it's all patents?
And for enterprise, it's they're getting out of the consumer market too, it sounds like.
I mean, I'm sure whoever's in charge of Hewlett-Packard this week knows an awful lot more than we do, but I got to say, on first glance, there doesn't seem anything fruitful or viable or sensible.
They can't be. I mean,
it just seems bizarre, right? Because they just came. They've been talking about this for the last couple of years about WebOS and acquiring HP, and they just came out with the HP touchpad to very lukewarm reviews. But people were saying, well, like the Playbook, like the Zoom, like other tablets out there that are not iPads, it has a way to evolve, but is still a first step. And like just a couple of weeks ago, they were still talking about putting Palm WebOS rather onto all kinds of other platforms and have a Windows emulator and just on and on and on. And they just came out with, I mean, these phones and these tablets came out, what, 2 months ago? This is, and now it's just gone. The whole thing is just history after 2 months. That's crazy.
Mm. I mean, they've literally launched this week, I think on the 16th. So it was 2 days ago, they launched the HP 3. It was the Palm HP 3, so it was the effectively the little stony thing for Palm for the third thing going. Can you type a bit quieter, Ian? Because I can't edit you out this week. Right. I don't get this. I really don't get it. Anyone got any good theories, James?
Either it's the patent or the fact they think that everything is just so generic and the same that they've got no chance of cutting in to where, well, Apple seem to have been ploughing the furrow and scattering everyone else around with lawsuits. Although I do understand that the European Union has removed the Galaxy Tab 10.1 lawsuit now. So
I got to say, I sat and looked all last week and I looked through the judgment from the German court. I don't believe it had the power to enforce it across Europe anyway. So I don't know where that story came from, really.
It's all been sort of lifted.
No, it didn't, from what I read. And the other thing was, I think they've had a look at like an iPad and the 10.1 temp sort of side by side, and the judge has gone, well, these are different.
Yeah.
And they've kind of thrown it out from there.
Going back to the HP thing here, I mean, WebOS was one of those things. I got to say, I was quite excited because, like I said, it was one OS. It was everywhere. You got it on your phone, your tablet, potentially your PC as well as. And it really was something that was going to take on Apple's dominance of the closed shop three platform OS system. It's failed, but is it failed because it's Betamax, effectively?
I think it's failed. What I've always thought is the lack of apps.
Yeah, reviewers and developers are not happy with it. And it says on the story, operators and retailers aren't happy either.
I never got to touch one. Never got anywhere near one.
It had. I never tried one either. But I, you know, the majority of reviews out there said it was bigger and bulkier than the iPad, and of course it couldn't compete on software because it had hardly any compared to the iPad or even to Android. But it's funny because so many people. I know you and a lot of people were rooting for its success. I was not that I ever had any intention of buying one, but just to give Apple some competition, just to have to shake up competition in this space, and you know, that's how you get innovation and lower prices is by other companies competing. But I just can't even remember. I think this is actually faster than Microsoft shut down the Kin phones after their release. Is right? Does that sound right?
No, Kin was only 14 days or something stupid, wasn't it?
I mean, oh, really?
You know, WebOS has at least had two iterations, three iterations.
But
because it was in.
Not since the.
Never in the UK, did they, Thomas?
HP touchpad. It's slower than that. I mean, HP touchpad, I'd say, is a lot slower than that. But WebOS has had two iterations already in the Palm Pre, so it's not a new piece of software. But I mean,
well, I'm not counting Palm because I'm talking about just since HP bought it and then since they said that this is going to be the future. Because I mean, this happens all the time, right? That folks like us who sit back and watch these companies and say they don't know what they're doing. They're going to fail. They're going to be terrible. It's a non-starter. No one's going to buy an HP tablet for any number of reasons that we've mentioned over and over again. But very rarely do we get proven right so fast into a product's lifespan. They went from years of talking about this, or I guess what, like 1 year since they bought Palm and they were really working on developing this, to all and saying up until days ago that this was the future, this was going to succeed. All of a sudden it's gone. It's just, they just on everything, I guess. The phones too, right? The Pixie, the Pre, they're all gone too, right?
Yeah. Can I just say something? The thing I've just realized with this is that the bigger story here is about the fact that they've actually ditched everything in terms of hardware. So we shouldn't be just picking on the fact that they've actually ditched WebOS.
No,
I still can't believe they've got rid of printers.
It's not a case of they've kept everything else and just picking on saying, oh, well, the WebOS isn't working, the Palm tablets and phones aren't selling, so therefore we're going to ditch it. This is part of a wider remit. So it doesn't actually necessarily mean that it's just that that's not working.
No, I think the point, though, that Eric's made there is a good one. He said, yeah, you, and I know you were rooting for it. I was rooting for it so hard I couldn't be bothered to get in the car, drive 3 miles down to a shop and pick up a Palm Pre and have a play with it.
Yeah.
For 10 well, minutes. I mean, you know, that's how far I was rooting for it, mate.
Well, you know, I mean, as you know, I had one and suffered one for a year and a half or so. And I'll have to say, the WebOS, I still think, is excellent. And in the end, I got so fed up with it because of the lack of apps.
It was
That's ultimately why I gave up with it, because I got so fed up with not having, you know, I mean, I only had Angry Birds in the last couple of weeks before I actually bought the Nexus S.
Ooh.
I thought the whole point of the WebOS was that it was easy to write apps because they're all JavaScript and web-based.
Yeah, but the thing is, nobody was actually doing it because everyone was seeing that the market was the iPhone and Android phones. Mm.
So here's the point. I mean, they're walking away from everything. You're saying printers as well, as James. You've already read further on than I have.
But no, I haven't yet. I've just
that really is a shock if it's printers, because that's the biggest player in that market.
It's got Hewlett-Packard's confirmed plans to exit PCs, tablets and phones. It doesn't say anything about printers. Right. But if
no, there's too big a money. There's too much money in printers. They never get out of that.
And the sell on
inks. Far too much money.
As well as. But, I mean, if they're walking away from all this hardware, there's got to be some massive inducement. And isn't that the wrong thing to do? When actually, if they wanted to really compete with Apple, they've got to get the closed shop and then they've got to start getting proprietary hardware. Only our computers will run WebOS. That was the way to go.
But if never going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah, but that's the point I was going to say. But unless no one's going to actually do it. Sorry, James, go ahead.
No, I thought I was interrupting Sarah. Sorry.
Maybe the new audio is not so good.
I was actually going to say, I must admit, I wasn't aware of the new WebOS 3 coming out only a few days ago, but it does smack that there was some, that obviously the people that were doing this had not a clue that Global HP were planning this.
Mm. It would seem so.
It's a bit shocking in a way, isn't it? Autonomy, and I can't find out what they actually do.
Who?
Autonomy.
Well, they make software.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of like
Microsoft.
State.
Yeah, enterprise server grade software is what I'm seeing.
And search tools for databases and things like that.
So definitely not consumer. And it looks like we keep saying the hardware business, but really HP is staying in enterprise class servers, I believe. In fact, they're beefing that up.
Yeah, and if you think about it, that would be. That doesn't really fit, because if you see that Autonomy, what they do is search for database servers. I know that HP do an awful lot that, you know, with HP. Is it HP? What's the Unix version of HP UX? Sorry, I've forgotten. I've used it years ago. You know, Autonomy is a kind of good fit because obviously it's a bit like, who is it that owns EMC? Eric, you might know. It, you know, that it's a really good fit for. I can see why they make
EMC.
Sorry,
I think EMC is EMC.
Yeah. Okay.
Aren't they their own? Yeah, I think so.
Yes, EMC Corporation.
Okay, I must have picked that up from somewhere else, but I can see that there is a good match if they're still in the enterprise market, because this is, you know, with big database servers and things like that, you know, it's. There's a good market for that, and I can see that maybe they want to put it on exclusively on HP platform. Mm.
Comments in the chat room. Isn't it just like Lexmark printers? Don't remind me of Lexmark printers, says Robert.
Lexmark printers don't.
And HP printers are horrible. I don't think they are, actually.
The thing I was going to say about the printers, from the corporate point of view, a lot of companies are now moving more towards having MFD devices, and HP are not top dog in that market.
No, that's Xerox and Canon. That's where the That's what we put our money, because it's click per print. It costs you far less for them run a big printer.
Exactly.
What is MFD? A big laser.
What is MFD, Sarah?
Multifunction device.
Oh, so it's like your printer, you know, scanner, like, fax kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, like you have the little ones at home. A lot of companies, and ourselves included, actually have these big photocopier things that do fast scanning, fast printing, all sorts of wonderful things. And HP, I've never heard of HP even doing anything. I'm sure they have got a range in that area, but certainly I've never heard of anyone that uses them. So maybe that's what they're seeing. The writing's on the wall. You know, their laser jet range is fantastic. But I think less and less people are using them.
Well, the thing with laser jets are so good, they last forever. You've got a 5-year-old one sat in your office. It doesn't go wrong. You can buy parts so cheaply and keep it running. It's better than buying a new one.
Absolutely.
It's cheaper just to check a maintenance kit every so often. Brilliant.
But I think the trend is away from that and more towards MFDs.
I think HP are going to do an IBM, though.
Which is?
Collapse.
Well, no. IBM, about 4 or 5 years ago, sold off their PC business to Lenovo. All your ThinkPads, and your ThinkStations and all these other kind of machines, they sold the whole manufacturing rights up to somebody else. Not even got the name on it anymore, and they're still selling as well as they ever were.
So what are IBM
completely
doing?
Separate business, and IBM are concentrating on services, the AI UX or whatever it's called, the IBM equivalent of HP UX, and sort of bigger solutions, aren't they? They keep out of the consumer and PC market. They did that a few years ago. I think maybe HP are trying for the same sort of market.
Yeah, IBM totally jettisoned their consumer market, and Dell also recently said that they're sort of exiting the consumer market and are going to focus on business. And I guess these companies feel like the future is in the cloud with servers and local servers, caching, distribution networks, all that stuff, cloud computing. But I wonder what American companies now are left in PC and laptop manufacturing besides Apple? And why are they exiting that? It's not like people have stopped buying these things, although it has slowed. It's not completely dried up. Far from it.
Well, you've got the likes of Acer and Asus.
Right.
I'm wondering,
Sarah, is that the issue that the economics of an American company owning those Asian manufacturing businesses just no longer makes sense? It's more economical just to give it directly to the Asian companies who can, just by being based in those countries, can eke another like 1% out of the already very small margins?
Well, that is exactly it. I think that's the point. Mm. It's very small margins. And I think that these companies like HP and everyone else, and even Dell, are thinking there's way more margin in enterprise servers.
You know, it's funny, there's always more margin in selling something that you can't physically touch or see.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking about cloud-based. I'm talking about companies that buy them either to go in their own data centers or in their own offices.
Right.
Big iron sells and big iron's worth money still. I mean, it's not what it was, because you don't put 20,000 servers in a server room anymore, but there's more money in sort of your average 5-brand server than there is in any PC.
Absolutely.
Well, with big iron stuff is that it's really power hungry, and companies have this sort of ecological bottom line they're trying to fulfill. And so as long as they can go virtualized and sort of cram as much power into as small a box as possible, that's what they're going to be aiming for. And I think some of the big box providers are actually heading towards the virtualization. So you're getting server farms in small bits of tin. HP Blade servers are a good example.
Absolutely. The Blade stuff is where it's headed. Mm. There'll be no more sort of pedestal stuff and rack mounted. It'll be one of these, a large rack which takes a number of servers. We've got a few in the office which are really good.
Mm, there we go. So, good thing, bad thing?
Am I very quiet?
You are a bit, yes.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Ian.
I think it will be, it's a move towards the same market as IBM.
No, I think that'll be a good thing for him. It hasn't done IBM any harm.
Well, it has actually. The funny thing about IBM is that, by the way, did you guys see that they just announced some new chip? I, you know, everyone published it at 12:01 a.m. last night, so I'm guessing that an embargo was released. A new cognitive chip that's supposed to operate like the right side of our brains instead of the left sides, which are analytical and fast and linear. These are supposed to be parallel, and the memory is the CPU. It's modeled after synapses and neurons and all that stuff that's in the brain. So they just announced this, but the funny thing is it's being funded totally by DARPA, by the government, by the Defense Department, it looks like. And so the funny thing is, you know, Robert X. Cringely is one. Well, actually, I know not the best name to mention to you in here since his appearance on this show was famous. But he's been writing for years about the decline of IBM and how it's like they're like a ghost company. It's like they operate on. It's like they've got nothing to stand on. Their services business is undersold. They're being eaten alive by competition overseas. They've gutted any like actual stable business, and they're just going down the tubes. And they're laying everybody off. They've gutted everyone's pensions, just a horrible company, mismanaged and going under. He's been saying this for years, and yet we see these weird things like they did Watson on Jeopardy, and now they're doing this thing with DARPA. So it's like they've really almost, maybe IBM's standing now is from government contracts, like defense agency contracts. I wonder if that's the market HP is trying to get into as well.
I've been sitting back listening to what you guys have been saying, talking very in depth about the market as far as you see it from the enterprise viewpoint. But there was certainly something that rung true with me in that 10 years ago, I realized that the way I was making money as a photographer was not going to be there in 10 years' time. And it hasn't. It's disappeared entirely. I was perfectly correct. I make very little right in my life, but that was one of them. And I realized that if I actually wanted to make any money in the future, I had to go into something that no one else would want to do.
Find your niche.
Yeah, the guy that had
USP.
Yeah, the guy that had a little compact camera would not be doing the kinds of things that I do, and they wouldn't go out and shoot trains and planes and large warehousing and forklift trucks and tiny components, and all of that kind of stuff would be something completely different. And I'm doing okay at it, thank you very much. Things are fine at the moment. Cheers. Is that what's happening here with the computer market? Is that what Dell are realizing, HP are realizing, IBM are realizing? And all of those people are walking away. And effectively, it's almost like reverse monopoly because they're kind of walking away from Apple in the consumer market and going, tell you what, have it.
That's horrible, isn't it?
And that scares the crap out of me.
It's like Apple have made a gentleman's agreement with these places. She's going, yes. It's like you're not going to mess in my manner.
I think it's awful. I think if that really is the way that the computer market's gone, they're looking for niches to make money because Apple are making too much money at the moment. No one can compete with them. They're buying up all of the technical stock, all of the components.
They're suing anybody who does.
They're suing anyone who's got anything with a patent that goes anywhere near them. Anyone who's got a patent that they want to sue Apple to get some money from them, they're having to walk away from it because Apple are so powerful they could pay them into the ground. And the computer industry, HP, is now saying, I tell you what, we're not going to fight them anymore. I know we're really big. I know we're making tons of money. I know this is our market, but actually, I can see the end of the road here, just like I said 10 years ago. And lo and behold, here I am at the end of the road. And fortunately, I took a different route.
Yeah. It's so weird, though. I mean, aren't they the biggest PC manufacturer in the world?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're certainly the biggest by far in the business market. And that's where we were all sitting saying, WebOS has got a chance because of the business market. And here they are walking away from it.
I think we've had that conversation on the big show before, haven't we?
I think Acer's catching them up, though, now, because they own just about every other PC manufacturer that's out there.
Acer's?
Acer,
right.
As in Packard Bell, as in E-Machines, as in all of the sort of consumer electronics. Most of the things you buy in PC world, if it's not got an HP label on it, is an Acer in everything but name.
They're the quiet ones, aren't they?
Yeah, they just sat there in the background.
I've got two Acer laptops.
This is a sports star who is a world beater at the top of the game, retiring for no good reason with 10 years of good sport ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean to say this is unexpected is
an understatement.
Yeah, absolutely. It's shocking. You saw before the show, you said, you know, HP got rid of WebOS. I was like, what? No, they didn't. And I was like, oh my God, yeah. Why?
Is it going to be reborn as a different company? Is it going to be sold off, be separate, and be hived into something completely different? Good question in the chat room.
I think, I was thinking about this, because I can't see WebOS disappearing. I think what will happen is if there's not that much interest in it, I think it could become the Linux of smartphones.
Yeah. No open source.
Is that an accolade?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Is it open source?
No, but that's what I'm saying. If no one, they can't make a commercial way of making money out of it, then I could see it, because there's enough interest in out there for a small community that I could see this actually take it, that it could happen.
So this is WebOS is just going to become a geeks platform.
It could very well be. I mean,
it's like more geeky than Android.
Excellent. It is excellent. You know, it's it's technically very, very good. But then you could say the same thing, you know, those of us that use Linux have the same argument. Mm. You know, we use it because we think it's better than Windows and, you know, Mac and everything else. And because it's free, there is that as well. But so I could see that happening if HP let go of it.
It's just so weird, because when I think of commodity computers, I can't think of anything more commoditized than a 1U length rack mounted server in a case somewhere in a data center. That are all thousands of them identical, you know, and that are just like stock hard drives and stock CPUs and just thrown in the box. There's no even, with a server, there's barely any manufacturing skill that goes into it. You could almost put one together yourself. I mean, it's not like at the microscopic, not human hands level, like in a phone or other device. And HP is historically a hardware company, from calculators to printers, scanners, all that stuff. To PCs, to they bought Compaq, who made the little iPad and little portable things. They bought Palm, absolutely, who made little portable handheld devices. And it seems like the handheld device market is going to continue to be so big. Although it brings up an interesting point. Do we know for sure that they are literally exiting the phone and handset market, or are they just getting rid of WebOS potentially for a move to Android?
No, the story is that they're ditching the whole of their PC and hardware side.
Well, PCs, yes, but do we know that
operations for WebOS devices, specifically the touchpad and the WebOS phones, HP will continue to explore options to optimize the value of WebOS software going forward, direct from the report on AHP's site.
Right, so
which means they'll flog it off.
Yes.
Well, exactly. What they're saying is that they're looking to maximize their software. Which means that WebOS is software, isn't it?
Yeah, they're going to license it out.
So it's perhaps WebOS is not a dead issue.
But they're still going to need to make their, what, is it 1.2 billion back off it?
But the whole point is that I do not honestly see it ever being a serious player because of the lack of apps. And I keep coming back to that. But if you think about it, that's the whole reason. If Android didn't have that many apps, we wouldn't use it. If, despite what Apple say, if nobody wrote apps for the iPhone and the iPad, no one would use it. Doesn't matter how good it is, because you can't do it. You couldn't do anything with it. And this is why I think it might become, as I say, it might become, you know, a geek interest.
I mean, that's the key part there, is that when you look at the WebOS platform, people who bought a WebOS platform didn't realize that they were buying WebOS, probably, and all they realized when they got out of the shop was that Angry Birds wasn't on it.
Exactly. So do you guys think that this leaves the possibility open for HP to get into the Android market?
Quite possibly. But why?
Of course they wouldn't. Well, no, but then again, why would they bother anymore? I think they're
no, but they're walking away from hardware.
That's the whole point. Exactly. They don't need, they're not going to bother.
Well, I'm just trying to confirm, do we know that for sure, or do we just know that they're discontinuing, quote, WebOS devices?
No, the story actually says where are we here? It says
PC, HP, tablets and phones.
HP to exit PC and tablet market. That's, you know, that's pretty categoric, I'd say.
That statement may change in the next few hours, admittedly.
I think, yes, I think the headlines often don't necessarily represent the reality, certainly when the first press release gets read the actual discussions.
You've got to say, James, if you're off beam with that statement, it's not, I mean, that's off a different ranch. That's completely different, isn't it?
It's happened before. Retraction, not so much retractions as kind of like fine-tuning what's actually happened. Basically, it's the headline's there to grab the attention. And it is something big that HP's done. But in the cold light of day tomorrow, we'll look at it and go, oh, well, maybe it made sense. And the
long it does make sense. I think that that headline would remain accurate even if they, a few months from now, began selling the same hardware but with a different OS. They just say that they discontinue the webOS hardware. It says nothing of discontinuing their... I don't see anything along the lines of how they're saying they'll discontinue their PC business, which I think makes sense to me because they're not a software company. Like we've just been saying, they usually make these commoditized boxes to put Linux on or put Windows on. They've never been in the software business like that. And even buying some, whatever the name just was, the company Autonomy. For $10 billion. I'm sorry?
Autonomy.
Autonomy. Thank you. Buying them for $10 billion for some kind of enterprise software business, you'd think that they're a hardware company. They're one of the biggest in the world. So you'd think that they have expertise to bring to hardware manufacturing, the miniaturization, the insight into building screens and integrating batteries and various things and marketing them, and the physical design and everything. It would make sense to me why they gave up on WebOS and would now be trying to just sell off the patents. But to completely exit the hardware business when they've always been in it, even for phones, when this market's about to explode, you know, if they said they're exiting PCs to get into the mobile market, that would make a lot more sense. So I'm thinking that they're going to go with Android.
The words they've used is their directors have authorized the exploration of strategic alternatives for its plans for its personal systems group, which I understand to be the PC division. HP will consider a broad range of options that may include, among others, a full or partial separation of PSG from HP through a spin-off or other transaction, so like HP, IBM, Lenovo.
Is there a question here that HP's actually broke?
Which, if you read a bit further down on that press release, I tweeted it to Eric. I think it's in the chat room, the link.
They've had all kinds of management issues, haven't they, over the last couple of years? Who knows what that sort of left them with?
Yeah, I think they're realizing they need to focus on where they're making money, which is enterprise.
Yeah, their boss was shagging around.
Yeah, well, Carly Farina.
Mark heard the turd.
Yeah, I was going to say this was a joke we had on the show. Was it a year ago?
Mm. Or maybe they've never really recovered and never sort of, because HP have always sort of they've been kind of half cocked about almost ever since Mark heard. Ever since, with every kind of release and announcement since then, and this is just kind of like a next in the litany, really, isn't it?
Well, Mark, when Mark Hurd got removed by the board for his shenanigans, Larry, what's his name?
Not Larry Page, was it? Larry,
the other guy, the big guy that owns everything, Oracle, said this is the biggest.
Larry Ellison.
Larry Ellison. That this is the dumbest move that HP could have done by a long way. And it doesn't look like that's not the case at the moment, unless this is the reaction to any crap that Hurd may or may not have put them in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I just hope they're not just saying that they want to be into a higher margin business, because I understand why. And I at least understand the fact that the PC business has, you know, razor thin margins. And that the services industry, like for providing enterprise class servers, just like how Intel has their Xeon class of chips, because they have they make such a bigger profit margin off of those than they do off of their cores and their Atoms and whatever Pentiums might still be around. It's a higher margin, but I can't imagine why that would persist for very long. I mean, how long will it be before if people overseas can manufacture equipment for cheaper, more effectively than we can do here? How much longer are we going to be able to provide local services better? I mean, services are replaced by software all the time. They're replaced by more computers. That kind of hands-on salesperson approach. How do we know that that's not going to become as immediately commoditized and race to the cheap hardware with no support model that consumer-grade PCs did? It kind of looks like it's headed that way when you look at the move towards it's like massively small computing, massively parallel computing, where Intel even now has a new chip where it has like 32 Pentium 1s on the same chip. And the point is, because people now want tons of little machines instead of one big Xeon that has to be then virtualized 100 times over.
Distributed computing, it's that kind of thing, isn't it?
I'm sorry, computing. I couldn't say that again?
Distributed computing.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way that things like the PS3 works? And that's why GPUs are so much more efficient for processing, because of the fact they're using multiple threads constantly.
Cores, yeah.
I didn't know I knew that. Maybe I still don't. Shall we talk about Google what the hell? It's got nothing to do with it's uninteresting now.
Google Roller.
Yeah, Google bought out
Motorola mobility scooters.
Well, now there's the thing, because actually when I thought it, I think that actually Eric Schmidt's going to get all excited with Larry Page, and what they're going to get is a Thora Herd Stanner stairlift, because they bought the Motability department where they make disabled products. No? So they bought the mobile division. Now, Motorola is huge. I mean, I did a lot of work with, I used to design scanners for just the ergonomics of them. And I designed a scanner several years back, and I still get stuff through from, it used to be Scion.
It's a paper.
It used to be Scion, but now it's Motorola. Motorola bought the Scion scanning business, effectively.
Right.
So I know damn well that there's no way in God's green earth that Google have laid their hands on that, because there's no way you're going to turn that to advertising. This is just the phones business. Is this a good move, a bad move, the right thing, the wrong thing? Is it good for the market?
I thought it was supposed to be the right thing to do, because they're rounding up, isn't Google effectively, it's patents again, they're effectively rounding up all the other bits and bats of patent that relate to the Android OS, so it's all under one app, so they can hopefully fend off Apple when they have another go at them.
What interests me is the fact that Motorola haven't made a Google-branded phone yet, and if they can use the Motorola brand to do the next Google out-of-the-box
phone. Well, they made the droids.
That's what I was thinking.
No, they made the first droids, James.
The droid wasn't a Google branded phone.
It wasn't Android, Nexus One. It wasn't set. Google G1. It was
because ATC had done it. Samsung have.
Yes.
Didn't Samsung.
Well, technically that is a Google branded phone. I mean, the term Google branded usually just means a phone that has Android market and has the Google logo printed on the back of the phone, which the droids did.
But the Nexus One and the G1 and the G2. were playing out the box. They didn't have any kind of HTC Sense or Samsung.
I mean, what we're saying there is, I think they were Google commissioned handsets.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Whereas the Droid wasn't. The Droid was always Motorola's commissioned handset, and Google was just a heavy partner, perhaps. But
you could say code where the hardware was now on, don't we?
You could say where the hardware was co-developed by Google.
Mm.
I thought it was quite funny actually when the announcement was made that there was all these. Other manufacturers that were supposed to be really happy about it. I can imagine behind the scenes they were quite worried.
Apparently they all had the same press release practically.
Yes, I know.
Could be more pleased that they have done this. Well done.
And you know what's funny is that when that news came out a few days ago, what did everyone say? They say, well, now HP's WebOS might get some attention because people are going to be looking for an alternative to Android, if they think it's all going to go up with Motorola. Now there's no WebOS. It's crazy.
And 99% of the people in the high street went, WebOS, huh?
Yeah.
Exactly. Most people, what's that?
You might as well have been asking them about a dessert food, mate.
Tiny little box at the bottom left-hand corner of Carve Home Warehouse is probably all it had.
And at O2 as well.
Hmm.
You know, it's funny. We're seeing, like, all of a sudden we're seeing the nuclear Armageddon of patent litigation. Like, all of a sudden. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if this came about purely because of the sudden increase and cost of licensing patents for mobility applications and hardware. Because if this just came after Motorola and Nortel and Novell and all this stuff, I would not be surprised if
this
sudden decision to cancel WebOS came because they looked at the numbers and said, hey, we could make more by selling off our patent portfolio than it would take to continue to invest in and develop and research and market all these WebOS products.
Well, it is the whole thing. Is how many patents have you got? Well, I've got 15,000. HP may not have had enough patents to be able to stay in the game.
Don't.
Well, I think they did. That was the original reasoning for buying Palm, was everyone said Palm was going to be valuable to some company because of their huge patent portfolio.
Isn't there a situation, though, now where Google have to pay Apple for every handset they sell because of patent? Wasn't that the patent dispute that was settled a while back? And there's no.
I know HTC have to pay Microsoft $5, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, yeah. It's HTC definitely, and I believe it's HTC to Microsoft. I don't think Google has to pay anyone directly.
Either Google has to, or Google, if it loses a case with Apple, is going to have to. Something like that.
Well, it certainly isn't yet.
There's a potential for them to have to give it over. So have they, I mean, is this warfare is of like, well, who's got a patent that can leverage Apple? Oh, Motorola have, we'll buy them.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at, I'm going to post this in the chat room right now. They're on Thomson Reuters Newswire. You know, they have a new infographic called Mobile Patent Suits that shows the crazy maze of everyone suing everybody. There, I just posted it.
And who's making anything out of it?
To draw that,
the lawyers.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You start going to court, there's no one wins.
This is why the story. Have you heard? I don't know if you've been keeping track of the Minecraft story. Fantastic. The guy who wrote Minecraft is called Notch, and he's working on another product called Scrolls. And Elder Scrolls is a company that develops games. Or a game was developed called Elder Scrolls, and their lawyers started getting twitchy and said, "You're developing Scrolls," and started taking them to court. And Notch just said, "Look, I'm not having any of this. Get the lawyers out of the way. We'll have 9 rounds of Quake 3, and the winner gets to keep the game." You see, that's how this sort of thing should be solved.
How geeks go out into the playground to solve it with fisticuffs.
I'd rather do that than get the lawyers involved and end up paying them lots of money for what turns out to be just nothing more than a name. Do it. It's exactly the same thing. It's nothing more than a game when the lawyers get involved. So fair play to him. And what they apparently said is, I can't remember what they've come back to it. And I have to remember because my son was chuckling at it. And they've come back saying, that's right. Hang on a minute. What if Quaker Oats gets upset that we're using the word Quake in an online competition to sort out a patent trademark? So they're not taking it seriously either, which is quite good.
Jolly.
And then you get Apple, who are taking it deadly seriously.
Apple don't do anything else but deadly serious. That's the trouble. I mean, this patents lawsuit thing, it looks like the redesign of the London Tube map.
That's painful.
I mean, there is a line going to every station here. And how many of them feed into Apple?
How many of them?
Looks like all of them.
How many come from Apple?
Most of the, I think the maximum that anyone's got is 3 at Kodak, apart from Apple.
Yeah, and Apple's got a lot of the blues, which means that they're engaged in mutual lawsuits with the other end of those arrows.
Yeah, exactly. They're suing each other, according to that.
That's the Piccadilly line. You don't want to go on the Piccadilly line.
The blue one. It's not that it was Victoria, isn't it?
Oh, dark blue is Piccadilly. You're absolutely right, Tory line. Both which has got new rolling stock and doesn't work properly.
Don't say anything about the rolling stock.
All right.
I might have taken a picture of it.
It's interesting as well when you look at this. Only Microsoft are the only ones daft enough to be paying anybody. Because Microsoft are actually licensing Amazon and HTC.
Microsoft have got a red line. What's a green line? Hang on. License technology to company, to Amazon. What the hell did Microsoft give Amazon? The Zune.
Oh dear.
Zoom Marketplace.
I think they own some patents for something or other from yonks ago, and I think that's possibly what they needed to use.
They're licensing it to HTC.
The patents are going insane. Did you guys see this latest one that someone is suing Apple over disk utility as well as a lot of other companies? And the actual quote, this was in Ars Technica this morning. The quote, oh, where did it go? It was something like method for... reconfiguring a computer based on comparison of the computer's previous settings. And they're trying to claim that repair disk permissions in disk utility is a violation of that. Of course, disk utility has been around for over 10 years. And restoring computer settings based on comparison of previous settings, that could be like, you know, an infinite number of software in the world. Think about how many times Windows does that for various things. It's crazy. All these patents are getting approved that for processes that have been around for ages.
Sounds like 1985's calling. It wants its defrag thing back.
I'm going to patent picking my nose on a Wednesday.
Have you seen the latest patent?
Exactly. See, you and that. See, that's the thing. If you, as long as you say on a Wednesday, that's enough to get a patent on picking your nose. On Wednesday, the excavation of mucosal leavings inside nasal passages by use of a of an appendage on the during the middle of a week, and that would be a patent right there.
I just thought I could do it using my finger. I could do it using a stylus. I could do it using a battery. I could do it using a pen.
John,
the picking of a nose using a stylus.
Sarah, you were going to say something sensible.
I was going to say, has anyone actually seen the latest patent application from Apple? You know, the in the top of the iPhone and all the other phones, you have the 3.5mm phone jack for putting the headphones in.
Yep.
Well, Apple have applied for a patent to cut the size of the plug in half. And their justification is so that they can make the phone thinner. And I'm thinking, nah, I don't buy that one. That's so that they can actually make you buy the headphones that you use with their devices.
Oh, my goodness me. Only those headphones.
Well, you know, yeah. The whole reason they have that stupid dock connector and can charge companies 30% of whatever percent they charge in order to get that made for iPad, made for iPhone, made for iPod logo, and to use any kind of a dock connector is because they have a patent on the dock connector. You could do it with USB, all these other reasons. It's because it's patented and they can extract royalties from companies making iDevice accessories.
This is the crazy thing. Almost every other phone manufacturer has unified using the micro USB charging connector, except Apple, who have stuck with their patented connector because they can make money out of it.
I think the greatest example is if you go to the Apple store and you want to buy the phone charger for the airline, that's made by or under license by Apple, and it's relatively cheap. I think it's £20 over here and $20 in the States. If you buy a car charger that's got the MagSafe connector on it, you can't get one for less than £150, which is exactly the same. There's no transforming. There's nothing like that. It's just a basic, simple connector that goes through to MagSafe because Apple own the patent on MagSafe, and that's the end of it.
They did that also to a company that made replaceable batteries. Like, they had one of those, I think it was called HyperMac. They had those big external batteries.
Yes.
And they sued them for using MagSafe when they were using the MagSafe ports off of discarded power adapters. Like, they would buy off of, you know, buy them used from somewhere, even if they were broken. And then they'd, like, hack them off and, like, graft them onto their own power adapters. Apple successfully sued them. And now if you want to buy an external HyperMac adapter for a Mac laptop, you have to go through this crazy process of either assembling it yourself, or I think the other alternative is you can buy one pre-assembled for like $300 or something crazy, or you have to buy something that uses your actual power adapter from Apple and then uses a transformer to go from AC to DC power or something like that.
I mean, there's a point there in the chat room from DT90 saying, Apple won't even license out the MagSafe connector.
Good grief.
You don't do it on their terms. You don't do it at all, full stop. That's all there is to it.
Which means you have to traipse to an Apple store to buy a replacement one if your one fails.
They'll license the dock connector, but they won't license the MagSafe connector. Because, I mean, I've got to say, MagSafe's brilliant. I mean, Will Green's nearly lost his computer the other week because his dog grabbed the lead. If it hadn't been for MagSafe, it would have gone.
Anti-pet connectors, yes.
There you go. That was the week in tech. Didn't we do well? Have we got anything that's cool? James, have you got a cool thingy for us?
I do. We've been discussing on Audio Boo a good way to do NAS serving. So basically a network storage device which doesn't just do sort of RAID disks and things. And one of the things people wanted was something that can do used as an iTunes server so that you don't have to have a laptop or a PC on. And it's this thing by Synology, Synology.com. And they do a range of bits of equipment, including the DS110J, which is like a NAS server. Plug it into your network, and it can do audio station, DLNA, iTunes server, and a download station, so you can do it for BitTorrent. And it's just one of these things that just sits, uses something like 27 watts when it's switched on, and you don't have to have a computer on all the time. And I think you can even time it to switch on and switch off when you're in the, you know, for when you come home from work and things like that. So it's a really good solution. Synology. And it's around about 200 quid, I think, bare bones. You stick your own discs in.
Have you used it, James? Do you have a...
Sorry, go ahead, Eric.
James, have you used it? Because I actually researched that once before. I thought maybe I should recommend that to my dad.
One of my fellows on Twitter has recently, he got very excited because it arrived today. I am waiting for a report on him, or from him. In fact, I shall look on his Twitter site while you do your cool things, and maybe he'll give me an excitable response. But I'm positive about it.
Yeah, if you hear anything and you form an opinion on it like that, let me know, because I'm thinking that might be ideal for someone who just wants to have like a... my dad at his office, he's got an old iMac that serves as a file server, and I think everything could be done a lot better if it were just on one of those little essentially hard drives that you plug into the network like that, that has that double RAID 1 redundancy. So
that's what it's
yeah,
got,
that,
yep. He's yeah. just said he's installed the disks and he's excited and he's having such fun setting it up. So that's as far as he's got at the moment. Whether it actually delivers what he's promising is another matter entirely, but it's looking good.
He's lying. If he's got lying, he's lying.
Hello, Brennig, if you're out there listening. Nas. And hello, Yana and Simon and everyone else who knows me. I'm actually greeting listeners as I sit here.
Good man.
And Andy Harbert-Taylor, whose idea it was.
Ah. And Ian's gone, just when it was his turn to pick.
Oh, no.
No, he's still...
No, you picked. Oh, there you go. You're back again now. Did you get a pick for us, Matt? I jumped this on you about 3 o'clock this afternoon, so I do.
Yeah, I've got something. We're sort of in the throes of moving out, so this is a Chrome plugin. It's called an Autodesk Home Styler, and you can throw a little. You can throw out like a square room. You can get all the dimensions right. It's got furniture and stuff all built in. It's just a freebie online. I mean, the furniture's uniquely American, but even so. It's still a sofa's a sofa and a cupboard's a cupboard. You can get a good idea of how your stuff's going to fit in the house. So I've been messing around with it, trying to work out how our stuff's going to fit in our house when we move.
I can thoroughly recommend a lot of that kind of stuff. One of the things that we had, we converted our kitchen over, and we were talking about the design of it, and the wife was sitting, oh, I don't know, I can't see it in my head. And I went and got the IKEA planner that uses all their furniture, shoved it in there, made the whole thing, and it was almost like right at the end, you could hold the picture up and look at the kitchen, and everything was where it was. So this,
brilliant,
this
that,
type
isn't
of
it?
Stuff is brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, really, really good.
And it's really quick and easy as well. It's so quick.
And it's a plug-in for Chrome, you say?
It's just a plug-in for Chrome. I mean, I think you That's can probably cool. use it in any browser, providing you get to the... There's a link in the chat room.
/...
I think it's an HTML5. It'll probably work in any old thing.
It's a beta. That's why it's free. Autodesk aren't renowned for doing stuff that's free. Did you see their release of AutoCAD in the Mac App Store this week?
Oh, no, I didn't know they were doing one.
Yes, they're going to release the Mac... They're going to release AutoCAD Lite in the Mac App Store this week.
And
the
shape.
Well, the light version, don't forget, light, it's not the full version. The light version is $900.
Whoa! Well, that doesn't surprise me. I've supported engineering companies for many years, and mechanical desktop and the full sort of bag of machines is always hugely expensive.
There we go. Sarah, do you have anything for us?
I haven't actually got a cool thingy this week.
No, really?
No, I haven't got one. Sorry.
All right, Eric?
I have one.
Ah, Sarah, shame on you.
I know,
yeah,
Sarah
shown up by Eric.
Did an Eric.
Beaten late by the late Eric Lanigan. Not dead, just late.
So I'm guessing probably a number of you guys have Google AdSense accounts connected to some website or another, right?
No, but okay.
Really? No one here has ever used AdSense?
Oh, I've clicked on an AdSense ad, but I don't get any money from AdSense, no.
I think I got an AdSense-like thing from Google saying, oh, no, that's AdWords. I don't know what AdSense is. Is that the little Google ads that you put at the bottom of your website? And it,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You get pay-per-click.
I did it once and didn't get any money for it, so.
Yeah, that's what I mean, the AdSense AdWords. I've never made any money off of it, but I have it on my website. And, you know, because you have to have a couple of ads, right? Or else people think you're not serious. And so I've made a little bit of money off of some YouTube thing, but I haven't gone through the steps to add my bank account or whatever just to get my $20 they owe me or whatever. But they have continued to send me these coupons. Spend your first $100 in AdSense ads. It's a $100 coupon for if you're buying ads. Of course, I've never bought an ad. I don't advertise on anywhere else. But you've got to see this card. The latest card they sent me Look at this. So if you can see, it's this little paper card, like a little greeting card. Looks like it's printed on recycled paper, kind of that off gray. And it says at the bottom, P.S., this card was printed on 100% recycled paper embedded with wildflower seeds. Plant it in a sunny spot with a thin layer of soil. Add water and watch it grow while you watch your business grow with AdWords. So this card, they're saying plant this card because it has embedded flower seeds. Now I'm going to zoom in here so you can see. This is, oh, I can't see myself. Look at this card. So if you can see these little tiny speckles, which I just assumed were like little, you know, paper imperfections. Apparently they're seeds. They're flower seeds. Can you see that? It's kind of hard to see. But they look just like the little speckles you normally see on recycled paper. But if you look closely, you kind of see, yeah, I guess those could be seeds. They have no physical feel. They don't feel like raised or bumps or anything. It just feels like any old regular sheet of paper. But isn't that bizarre? Plant this card in a sunny spot with a thin layer of soil, add water, and watch it grow.
That's excellent, mate.
That's a really cool idea.
My pick is a watercress sandwich that I've got here. And actually, if you put my watercress sandwich in the ground, it will... No, okay. My pick is something that is the most addictive game I have ever played at all. Ooh. On the iPhone platform. It is disgustingly addictive. My standard passion is this thing about morning motion games. I'm going to come up with morning motion software where you play a game and it lasts for 5 to 7 minutes, which is just long for the normal for the morning motion. But this thing, Golf Putt Pro, it you could play it for 30 seconds. It doesn't make any difference, but you can't play it for 30 seconds. All it is it's got a little putter that lines up there and it tells you the tilt of the green. And when it's lined up, that's not bad, is it, for... And when you tap the screen, there you go. It's in the hole.
Were you the one a couple of weeks ago who did the football scoring goal one as well?
No, that was Andy. That's a pain in the ass, that game.
I love that one. That's brilliant.
The tilt on the green changes. Uh-huh. And you get bigger and bigger swings on the putts. And the most I've managed so far is 16 in a row. But I've had it for 24 hours and I hate it. I hate it with a passion. And it's no good for the morning motion.
Is that because it's too addictive?
I can't stop playing. I cannot stop playing the frigging thing. I hate it.
You want to eat less roughage?
I'll finish this. I'll do the track. I'll bounce it down. And while it's bouncing down, I'll sit and play that. And 2 hours later, after this thing's finished bouncing down 45 minutes to an hour earlier, I'll still be playing it. It's that bad. It's that bad. There you go. Golf Putt Pro. 69p.
69p.
Right. Last word, sponsors. UK2. Fantastic people. We love them to bits. They are the be-all and end-all of this network. We would be wallowing in self-pity and disbelief if it wasn't for UK2.net. You need to go and support them because they support us, and they really do support us. We lost more than 4 terabytes of data off the server in just audio alone last month, which would crush us normally financially if we hadn't got their support. They picked up all the tabs. They even said, tell you what, I think we're overusing the server a bit. We'll get you a big new one, eh? So we got a brand new server with 10 new nodes, and they transferred us all over. And we had a couple of hiccups with this website, but hey. What do you think? But they solved it for us. We got our own little bloke who helps us. Thank you, Irfan. He's great. Bagel Tech is powered by UK2.net. Please support UK2. And here's the way to do it. You go to our website, you'll find on there the UK2 logo. Go to bageltechnews.com, find the UK2 logo, click on the UK2 logo, go and buy whatever you want to buy. They'll know that you've come from us. And when you get to the end, you've got a choice. If you want 15% off whatever you've bought, type in the word Bagel Tech and you'll get 15%. And here's the big difference, and I can tell you this now because I called you a few weeks ago, but I'm going to sneeze. Oh, excuse me.
Gesundheit.
Thank you very much, mate.
Yes.
The big difference is that they've got a new code for us, which is going to be really useful. And the new code is when you transfer your domain name over, there's a thing that they do as a charge called DNS management. And I know, James, you've fallen foul of this one. It came through. Bagel Tech listeners will not be paying for DNS management charges. Okay, so all you need to do is when you are buying something where you're likely to get a DNS management charge, use the offer code BAGELDNS. And when you use BAGELDNS, you'll get 100% off your DNS management charge. There you go. So you won't be fined, if you like, for transferring your your stuff over. I know a few people have got a bit upset that they've had that charge, and there is a way around it which we can use, but you can now use that offer code BAGELDNS and the DNS management charge will disappear 100%. There you go. UK2.net, we're lost without them. Please, please, please support them. And also, we've got a Wirecast competition again this month. And the Wirecast competition is dead simple. All you've got to do is go into an Apple store, a Fry's Electronics, anything like that, any computer store, cafe, internet cafe, to get as many screens as you can to show the Bagel Tech homepage and take a picture of yourself in front of it or the Bagel Tech logo. Whoever's got the most screens at the end of the month, and I'm talking about the last day of the month in August, will get a copy of Wirecast. $500 piece of software, free of charge. That simple. It's an objective competition. No one's going to be judges' choices and all that kind of stuff. That'll be it. And if you want to support the network, there's a whole pile of shirts you can get at bageltech.spreadshirt.co.uk with loads and loads of big messages on them and loads of things that you can wear. And I think they look kind of cool. I think they're not bad. So every time you buy a shirt from there, we get £5. And the £5 goes towards buying my brand new mixer and Firewire thing that's going to go here. There you go. Thanks to Russ for bringing it up. Cheers, mate. Where can we get a hold of you, James? I'd show a close-up picture of you, but I can't.
Oh, it's a shame. SYZYGY, SYZYG on Twitter, about.me/James Hart as well, is kind of like a portal to my nether world. Can I just say, by the way, thank you very much to the chat room this evening. You've been fantastic, as always.
Always.
Brilliant.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you very much as well, James, for your Twist ISS thing.
Oh, yes, the International Space Station.
What?
On a clear night. It's brilliant.
What a service. You register with them, you follow them on Twitter. They know where you are, which is kind of a bit worrying, actually, more than anything. But sort of an hour before, they say, oh, there's three things going off tonight. It's going to pass over three times. One of them is going to be really bright, and the most bright one is 8:51, and you go out and it's in the southwest sky, and there it is. And there it is, this little tiny white dot just going through the broken cloud in the background. I watched it last night. It was brilliant.
Amazing. That's TWISST.
Perfect pick, mate. Really enjoyed that. Thank you. Follow of the week, without a doubt. Mr. Grant, thank you very much for coming this evening. Do appreciate it, mate. Wonderful conversation.
No problem at all.
It turned out to be the right conversation to have you on as well as. So, coming from the corporate IT market.
Yeah.
Where can we get you, pal?
I'm always on TIOA, BOA, turn it off and back on again on Twitter. I've also set up a couple of Bagel Tech leagues on fantasy football, if anyone's into it. I've done one on the Sun one and another one on the Premiership one. So there's a joining code. I've stuck them on the Facebook page if anyone fancies joining me, but something looking like Billy No Mates with it.
Send the codes through to Sarah. And Sarah, maybe you can put just a little one-liner or something on the website so people can click.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do that.
They're logged on the they're on the Facebook page at the moment. I've stuck them on there.
Thanks, mate. Wonderful. If you want to do fantasy football, if it's your thing, join in with Ian. Sarah, where can we get you, Mrs.?
My website is sarahjaneuk.com or best places on Twitter at sarahjaneuk.
Jolly good. And website devotee as well. Website's looking great, Mrs. Looks really good.
Really working happy with it.
I sent you a banner today as well, so that should be working.
Yep. Yep. There's something we're going to do to improve the the main banner. There's a few other things going on as well, but
So much coming. And finally, Eric, where can we get you, mate?
ericlanigan.com, twitter.com/ericlanigan, ericlanigan.
And down the end of a quick time feed to the Twit network.
Yes, coming soon.
Coming soon to your bedroom near you.
Coming soon from my bedroom to. Well, I guess it could be your bedroom, wherever you choose.
You in a one-room apartment or something, you kind of get up from that desk and just fall down into a bed that's right in front of it or something and then get up again and get back in front.
Practically.
Jolly good. Right, we'll be back again next week with the Bagel Tech Big Show. We'll have a solid audio and a solid Wirecast feed, and hopefully I'll have got here in time before we do it, so I'm sorry. Yeah, a bit of a rush tonight and screwed up. Never mind. We'll get it sorted. Something always dogs us, doesn't it? It wouldn't be simple. It wouldn't be Bagel Tech without it. So there we go. We'll be back again tomorrow morning with the Daily Show. Please have a listen. We're back at 1 o'clock with the Mac Show. Andy and Nat goes on with us, so that should be a good time. And then we're doing the photo show just a little bit earlier, 2:30 in the afternoon. So come and have a play on the photo show and answer some questions and watch Kyle stumble over the hieroglyphics on the side of other lenses, because that's one of the questions that we've got in this week. We'll have a great time. Hope you can join us. Thanks for listening.